T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You know, it's a good day when Diesel and I spend about 15 minutes before the show just quoting Caddyshack back and forth to each other. Happy Wednesday, South Carolina. What's happening upstate? Great to be with you again, 3 minutes afternoon, right here on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. How do you do? Great to be with you one more time again midweek. Starting to look ahead towards a football weekend upcoming. Still waiting on some results from NASCAR and a whole lot more before we get into any of that. Give the people what they want, D-Train.
Your uncle molests collies.
Lacey Underall. Is there a better comedy name in a movie than Lacey Underall? Just a great name.
I enjoy skinny skiing, going to bullfights on acid.
Just a Cinderella story.
We have to stop this or we could go for the entire show.
It's in the hole. All right, you got to say the thing.
Stick
though.
To sports.
There it is.
All right, now we're done. We're done not doing sports. Well, Caddyshack is kind of sports.
Caddyshack is routinely voted one of the funniest sports movies in all of sports. And it's amazing. We will not quote Caddyshack the whole time. However, you can feel free to call in just to quote Caddyshack. You will make Diesel's day if you just call in, go on air, give us your favorite Caddyshack quote, and then hang up. That's all you got to do.
We don't need anything else from you, just that.
Then Diesel and I are just going to riff off of that for about 15 more minutes. That Diesel and I connected our machine about 15 minutes before the show. And I don't even know how it started that we quoted Caddyshack, but it was just 15 minutes of Caddy. And for those of you who have not met Diesel and I in person yet, about 87% of our communication is through movie quotes. Like, that's just, like, most of the conversation we have back and forth between each other is done via movie quotes. But today we weren't even talking. It was just us going back and forth quoting Caddyshack for no reason at all.
Well, the fun part is about 87% of our personality is the same.
True story.
We're kind of the same person.
True story. Also, I need therapy. So, a lot of stuff to get to on the program. A lot of stuff to get into on the broadcast today. The LA Dodgers are your World Series champions. And my word, Cash, what are you doing? Blake Snell dealing last night, less than 75 pitches in the game. He gets himself into a tiny little jam, one that it was going to be far from him getting out of, and the manager goes to the dugout early. Snell was seen just absolutely cussing like a sailor walking off the field because he was in fuego hanging on to a 1-0 lead. Cash goes to the pen, pulls in the reserves, and what happens? Within just a handful of batters, the Dodgers take the lead, one that they would not relinquish. We are going to get into that.
When they took him out, the video auto-corrected to duck.
Yeah.
The words that came out of Snell's mouth auto-corrected to duck.
Yeah, my dude was not happy. And to be honest with you, he was absolutely right? And you know you've made a bad decision. 9 strikeouts through 4 innings. First pitcher in a World Series game to do that since the early 90s. Blake Snell finds himself with like, I think it's 74 pitches, gives up one or two hits there in the bottom of the six. Yeah, 73 pitches, had one man on, gives up a single blooper right over the second baseline, and they go to the dugout, which I don't understand.
They just showed this graphic on ESPN TV, and they showed Blake Snell's ERA from the first to the fifth innings, and then from the fifth inning on. For the season, his average ERA in innings one through five has been a 1.25. From innings six and beyond, it goes up to a 12.
Yeah,
so and they let the numbers get ahead of him and say, well, the numbers say he's not very good after this inning, but the guy's pitching lights out right now.
Yeah. And this is and we're going to have this conversation later on the day, specifically amongst the baseball crowd, because there is a question today about analytics versus in-person decision-making, right? Like and somebody has already thought that they're going to get the best of me and hit me with, well, wait a minute, Rob, you're asking for managers to manage as human beings instead of computers, which I am, and we're going to talk about this a little more in depth later. But you're also the same guy that wants robo-umps to take the human element out of calls, right? Yes, because calls are not subjective. A pitch is either a ball or a strike. There is no maybe, right? But whether it's time to pull Blake Snell in the bottom of the sixth, that is subjective. That's a subjective decision for a manager to make. And last night, I think the Rays made the wrong one. So we're going to get to that in a little while. Got to get into the comments that Trevor Lawrence made yesterday. Got a lot of Clemson fans raising an eyebrow. Could we get one more season with sunshine? We're going to break that down coming up for you in a little while. And a whole lot more coming up. Major League Baseball, outside of the game, made a huge screw-up last night. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to hear from Keyshawn and Jay Will from our morning show as they put baseball on blast this morning, and I think rightfully so. Plus, the saga of the man who lost $97,000 due to a post-game stat change in the Monday Night Football game. We got that coming up for you in just a little while as well. But it's the first segment, D-Train, which means it's time to do that little song and dance we like to call
the Lunch Breakdown.
That is the one, the three things you have to know before you go talk sports at the lunch break with your friends, family, coworkers, or the dog, whoever you spend your lunch break with. Item numero uno. Speaking of that baseball screw up, baseball under fire today as they had themselves a little whoops-a-daisy. Last night, we got all the way to the eighth inning. And between innings, the Dodgers had a lineup change. They come back out onto the field for the eighth inning. And Justin Turner, their stellar third baseman, was no longer on the field. Joe Buck at one point says, well, we've had a lineup change here for the LA Dodgers. We'll have to get in touch with them and find out if something's wrong with Justin Turner or if they've just decided to go with some different defense out there. Turns out, and this is fun, Justin Turner got popped for a positive coronavirus test during the game. So, despite going 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts, he had to exit the game in the eighth inning. No one was given a reason for it. But it turned out that he got popped with a positive Rona test. So, my dude had to hit the locker room, had to quarantine from the team, had to disappear for a little while. In fact, they showed a video in the bullpen of him walking down the length of the bullpen and disappearing down into the locker room. Of course, MLB being in an insulated postseason neutral site bubble because of the Rona, Turner was the first player since the playoffs began to be flagged for the coronavirus. The veteran infielder was not immediately available with his teammates as they celebrated the franchise's first World Series title since 1988, but the 35-year-old did return to the field with his wife about an hour after the game and took photos with the World Series trophy. He got a hug from longtime teammate Clayton Kershaw and sat front and center next to manager Dave Roberts for a team photo, occasionally lowering a mask he otherwise wore throughout the celebration to smile in pictures. Sources told ESPN's Jeff Passan that Turner had been asked to isolate after the positive test, but then no one stopped him from going to the field to celebrate the World Series victory. Sources told Passan that in the second inning, the lab doing COVID-19 test informed MLB that Turner's test from Monday came back inconclusive. It is unclear why the results of the test arrived after the game began, as they typically do beforehand. Samples taken from Tuesday arrived at the lab, and Turner's was run immediately, sources said. When it showed up positive, the league called the Dodgers and said to pull Turner. He was replaced by Edwin Rios and was isolated. But again, he made his way out to the field to celebrate that World Series victory with his teammates and with his manager about an hour after the game was over. They got their team photos made and everything. Now everyone in the Dodgers organization that had contact with Turner and everybody on the field, although Turner did not make it onto the bases, so the Rays should be fine with the exception of perhaps the catcher, the behind-the-plate umpire, and any of the Rays who made it to third base, of which there was really only one or two. You had the Arozarena dinger that ended up being the Rays' only run of the night. But they will all have to get those PCR tests today to find out if he's out there. Baseball being questioned, why did you let him return to the field? Why did you let him go out there knowing that he is at least, and obviously he'll have a second test result coming to confirm, but A, how were these tests not made available and not tested and graded out before you put these guys onto the field together? And how did you let him end up back on the field with his team after he got tested positive with the Rona? These are the types of mistakes that will continue to threaten all sports. We'll come back to that later on, item number two. It did look for a little while like we'd be heading to a game seven last night, but as we mentioned, not so fast, my friend, as the great Lee Corso would say. There is no game seven, as game six was won by Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. First title since 1988. Mookie Betts, third player all time with four stolen bases and multiple home runs in a single World Series. The last time the Dodgers won a title, it was that famous Kirk Gibson home run series, and now they've made it all the way back to the promised land in a neutral site stadium played in just a handful of fans. Tony Gonsolin, who has been counted on to function as a traditional starter, recorded only five outs, but four relievers, Dylan Flora, Alex Wood, Pedro Baez, and Victor Gonzalez, retired 13 of the next 14 batters, keeping the game within reach long enough for the Dodgers to get past an electric Blake Snell, tap into the Rays' bullpen after Kevin Cash turned to Nick Anderson with one on, one out at the top of the order, due up for a third time in the sixth. The Dodgers' offense came alive. Mookie Betts would double. Austin Barnes would score in a wild pitch. Betts slid home safely on a grounder to the right side. And, of course, would tack on an important insurance run with a solo homer in the eighth. Closer Julio Urias cruised past the finish line, leading the Dodgers to the title 16 days after the Lakers completed their championship journey. And the Dodgers are the kings of MLB. We'll come back to a game breakdown later on as well. And finally, item number three in our lunch breakdown today. You heard a little bit about it yesterday, although these comments were made right as we were getting off of the air. Trevor Lawrence, the starting quarterback for your Clemson Tigers, has said that there is a lot that could happen between now and the draft. What did he mean by that? Well, the big question circulating around right now the National Football League is if the New York Jets, an incompetent and inept organization, were to have the first overall pick for the 2021 NFL draft, would Trevor Lawrence change his mind? Here's what TL16 had to say yesterday.
You thought it all about, is there anything that might make you reconsider? You've been very upfront about this being your final season here. I'm just curious if there's anything that would make you reconsider coming back to Clemson for another year.
I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that, but honestly, just really – playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. So just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out. So I'm not sure. That's a tough one, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
So Clemson fans, a little optimistic, maybe one more year at TL16 if the Jets hang on to that one pick. We're going to break that down. Coming up next, we'll break down what Trevor Lawrence said yesterday. Should he go to the Jets? I argue that he should come out. He should go to the Jets next year if they are to have the number one pick. And when we come back in a minute, I'm going to tell you exactly why. My name is Rob Brown, my man D-Train, the Diesel, back in the network studio pushing the buttons and switches. Quick break. We're back right after this on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 844-477-3776. Shoot us a text to 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so it filters through to us on the text line. Of course, the first two texts we get are both Caddyshack quotes. You'll get nothing and like it. You know, thanks for playing along and making me and Diesel laugh during the break by reading more Caddyshack quotes. We appreciate it. 71307, text your thoughts. And, of course, start it with ESPN so it comes through to us. So we talked a little bit yesterday about Trevor Lawrence right at the end of the day. Is he going to come out or is he going to stay one more year in the purple and orange? It's a big question mark, and one that Clemson fans right now are hoping to get an answer for. Obviously, you'd like to know. Two things. Number one, and I'll play that sound for you. I'll play what Trevor had to say again here in just a second. But you need to, before we delve into that, just remember that at the end of the day, the best thing for Trevor Lawrence is the best thing for Trevor Lawrence. One thing that has always driven me absolutely bananas is when sports fans try to talk players into doing what's best for them, right? One of the creepiest things in the world for me is when grown-ass men tweet out to high school football players what they should do, right? Come to my school. We got this, this, and that for you. Dude, you're tweeting at a 16 or 17-year-old child about what he should do in the future. Stop tweeting recruits. They're recruits. They're high schoolers. If you ever tweeted a high schooler, you should meet me at the mall after class today, you would go to jail for it. But for some reason, it's cool that we tweet them and ask them to go to our schools. Anyway, here is what Trevor Lawrence said. I'll play it for you one more time, and then we'll break it down. Should TL16 dodge the Jets if they get the number one pick? Here's what Trevor Lawrence said yesterday during a Zoom press conference.
Have you thought at all about, is there anything that might make you reconsider? You've been very upfront about this being your final season here. I'm just curious if there's anything that would make you reconsider coming back to Clemson for another year.
Man, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that, but honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay or whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. So just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out. So I'm not sure. That's a tough one, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
So that's TL16 yesterday saying that, you know, he's got a lot of stuff to consider between now and the draft. I'm going to argue that he should come out, and here's why. But I'm going to go ahead and add the caveat that this. The caveat here is that the Jets have to make organizational changes, all right? Adam Gase has showed repeatedly that he is just not the guy, all right? He's not ready to be an NFL head coach. The Jets are bad. They got rid of Le'Veon Bell, who was supposed to be the guy who changed the offense. Offensively, they are towards the bottom of the league in just about every category. Defensively, they're atrocious. They're just a bad football team, all right? They're just a bad football team, top to bottom. Adam Gase has to go, right? The ownership there has to make a decision. The ownership there has to make a change. It's not an option anymore. They don't have the option. And if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I have no problem making that known. I have no problem. And I know it's not always easy, but Trevor Lawrence has got to understand in this spot that he holds all the cards, right? He's got the option to sit out one more year. And if you are the Jets and you get to choose between Adam Gase and Trevor Lawrence, you are picking TL16. You have to. Adam Gase has repeatedly shown you that he's not the dude, that he's just not there yet. And if he is definitely not the dude, let's not even say that Trevor Lawrence is a guaranteed success, because as of right now, he's not a guaranteed success, right? There's still question marks about TL16. Now, I do think that he is built as the prototypical successful quarterback in the National Football League. He's got the height. He's got the composure mentally. He's got the stature. He can make all the throws. And the one thing that I still don't think he gets enough credit for is he is a quiet, sneaky, good runner when things go bad for him. He is everything you are looking for in an NFL quarterback as a prototype. He holds all of the cards right now, right? He holds them all. TL16, if I'm an advisor to see TL16, I don't know that I'm doing it right now, right? I don't know that I'm doing it right now. Maybe you wait until a little later in the season. Maybe you wait until things kind of start to cool off a little bit. Let the Jets go lose 8-9 more games. And I am basically putting it out. Hey, look, I don't mind going to the Jets, but I will not go to the Jets the way that organization is built right now. I am not going to go to the Jets if the people in charge of the playbook are still in charge of the playbook next year. If we get to the deadline of declaring for the draft and Adam Gase is still involved, then I will be coming back for one more year with the Clemson Tigers. It's very simple. It's very simple. Now, why do I think he should go if the Jets are willing to make that move? It's very simple. You want to build a legacy. You want to build a legacy. You want to be the guy that comes in and bails out a team and saves them, man. Look at what Joe Burrow is doing for the Bengals right now. The Bengals playing pretty good football. The Bengals are playing pretty good football right now. And Joe Burrow had a lot to do with that. I know that they're 1-5. And people want to look at that 1-5 and say, how can you say they're playing good football when they are 1-5? But look, I go look through what they are right now. They tie with the Eagles. They beat the Jags. They get smoked by the Ravens. But Ravens are one of the best teams in the AFC. They barely lose to the Colts. They barely lose to the Browns. And oh, by the way, the Browns have found a little something-something on the way, too. and they barely lose to the Chargers. Nobody expects the Bengals to be a playoff team in the first year, but they are putting up numbers. Statistically speaking, they're better than they were last year, and now they're going to have a little bit of an opportunity this offseason to get even better, right? And Joe Burrow is the reason that you can look at the Bengals, even at 1-5 right now. You can look at the 1-5-1, sorry. You can look at the Bengals right now and see marked improvement. If you're TL16, you want to do the same thing for the Jets because that's how you build a legacy, right? If Joe Burrow comes back next year and the Bengals are in contention, and oh, by the way, they're playing in the AFC North, right? The Steelers are 6-1 defeated. The Ravens are 5-1. Both of those teams are heavyweights in the AFC right now. Hell, the Browns are 5-2, and the Browns are a good football team right now. You are playing in what is shockingly one of the better divisions in the NFL if you're Joe Burrow and the Bengals. So nobody's expecting a great record. I am looking at Joe Burrow this year and looking at stats. Show me the stats that prove that you're pointed in the right direction, and I think you can do that right this second. If I'm TL16, I want to do the same thing. And on top of that, that division next year, unless Bill Belichick can fix something, that division right now is going to be ripe for the taking next year. The Dolphins are getting better, sure. And maybe Tua Tagovailoa shows himself to be the guy. But you got the Buffalo Bills at 5-2, right? And who's to say that the Jets with a different signal caller and a different head coach can't compete? TL16 can go to the league and build up something that is the definition of nothing right now. The definition of nothing right now and build himself a legacy from scratch. But the only way I'm doing it, if I'm TL16, is if Adam Gase is not there. If he's not, I'm making money moves. If he is, I'm definitely coming back for one more year at Clemson because Gase has shown that no team can win with him. Just can't do it, okay? It comes down to that decision. And I think at some point, probably towards the end of the year, maybe right after it's over, before the deadline to instate yourself in the NFL draft, if TL16 comes out and says, if the Jets make coaching changes, I will come out. And if they do not, then I'm out. Because here's the thing. If you're the Jets, that's enough to justify making a decision. Because even if he says, I'm coming out if you make a coaching change, and you make the coaching change, and then TL16 says, never mind. I think I'm going to stay one more time. Even though, who cares? You still had to make a coaching change because Adam Gase ain't the guy. Who cares? Who cares? You got to make a change anyway. If the gamble is on TL16, I'd rather gamble that Trevor comes out than gamble that somehow Adam Gase is going to fix this 0-7 football team during the offseason, because I don't see it happening. You agree or disagree? Should Trevor Lawrence stay or should he come out? What conditions do you put on it either way? And do you think that what he said yesterday impacts how the New York Jets operate? 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. That's coming up next. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. So Justin Turner last night pulled from the field in the eighth inning after getting a positive coronavirus test, his second of the week, meaning he is, the first came back inconclusive. He gets a second one that's positive. He's told to isolate away from the team. In the middle of the eighth, so he's pulled from the lineup, sent to the dugout. The Dodgers would go on to win that game, and then he would end up making his way back out onto the field during the celebration. No one stopped him from returning for the celebration. I'm sorry. Baseball screwed this up. Major League Baseball allowing Justin Turner back on the field screwed this up. And look, I know that a lot of people feel like it's not a big deal, feel like it's not something. Hey, Diesel, how'd you feel when you had the Rona, buddy?
It sucked.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, in our wide sample size here, Diesel and I both tested positive. Diesel got his ass kicked by the Rona. I felt nothing. I was completely and totally asymptomatic. And most people our age are. Most people in their 30s, as Justin Turner is, are. Most people in their 20s end up being asymptomatic. But not all of them are. There are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of stories from around the country of people in their 20s and 30s who get it handed to them when they get the Rona. So Justin Turner gets the Rona and is allowed back on the field to celebrate with the Now, I understand how difficult it would have been for Justin Turner to participate in a Dodgers World Series run all the way up to the night that it was clinched, to clinch, be in uniform in the locker room when clinched, and be told, sorry, bro, you can't be up there on the field with your team because you've got the Rona. Of course that would suck. And of course it would hurt Justin Turner. But if you're baseball, what's more important? That Justin Turner be allowed to celebrate a victory, or that nobody else of the dozens and dozens of people that he would be in contact with up on the field during a World Series celebration contract coronavirus, a virus that has, well, some pretty damn negative impacts if it gets a hold of you. I don't understand this decision, right? It's the same conflict that's been going on right now with Wisconsin. Wisconsin has had a rash of positive tests, right? The Big Ten's heading into week two. Wisconsin was slated to take on Nebraska this weekend. And on top of that, remember, the big negative about the Big Ten waiting this deep into the season to start their season is that there is zero flexibility for Wisconsin and the rest of the Big Ten. So Wisconsin has to cancel their game against Nebraska. You know when that game gets made up? It doesn't. It doesn't. Because according to the Big Ten's protocols, Nebraska right now has to quarantine and cease football operations for at least 7 days. That goes through the weekend, which means that they are not going to play Nebraska. And because there is no flexibility in the schedule, it also means that they will not be able to reschedule that matchup. And I got into reading some comments on Twitter last night where a bunch of people were like, well, you know, I don't understand. Just let them test throughout the week, and if they don't get any more positives, then let them play this weekend. What that says to me is that you are more concerned with your entertainment, you are more concerned with your happiness than you are the health and well-being of football players who are out there doing the entertaining. Or in this case, you're more concerned with Justin Turner getting able to get out there and celebrate with his team than you are about the health and well-being of the dozens of people that Justin Turner was going to be on the field with yesterday. And I am not okay with that, man. I'm not okay with that. I've had three people in my life that have had to go to the hospital with the Rona so far. One of them had to go into the ICU. A buddy of mine, bartender back home in Destin, named Sean, had to go into the ICU because he got the Rona. I don't understand why this is something that baseball was so lackadaisical about. I don't understand why this is something that baseball allowed to happen. And I don't understand the people who are urging football to just push through it. Oh, there's positive tests, just push through it. Look, the sad thing is we are a very reactionary culture in the United States. That's what we do. We build every decision we make is traditionally built on being reactive instead of proactive. It is going to happen that we are going to have an athlete who ends up having to go into the ICU and have his career threatened by the Rona before people start saying, we got to take this seriously. We cannot allow guys like Justin Turner onto the field when they test positive, no matter how emotional it is to keep them isolated from the team. Quick break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Brown, Diesel, you, this is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show wrapping up hour number one. Thanks for joining us, Rob and Diesel and you. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307. Start your text at ESPN. Love to have you here on the broadcast today. We got a lot of stuff that I still want to get into, but check this out. You know, we've talked about sports gambling on this show. It's something that I dabble in very mildly. Like I'm the dude that bets a couple of bucks on games tops. You know, my gambling account, I usually have anywhere between 20 and 40 bucks in it tops. If I get up over 40 bucks, I pull out some and go buy a six pack of craft beer with it. But I could not imagine what happened to a cat named Rob Hunts after Monday Night Football. Rob Hunts had entered a DraftKings fantasy weekend competition where the first place winner would win a prize of $1 million. Everything had worked out perfectly for Hunt's lineup during the stretch of the Rams' 24-10 win. One of Hunt's lineups that featured both the Bears and Rams defenses had scored 92.79 fantasy points, which was the most out of the 176,470 entries in that DraftKings pool. When that game was coming to its conclusion, Rob Hunts had a computer screen in front of him that showed he was in first place and had won a $1 million prize. So what did he do? Like everybody else, started texting his friends, called his parents to share the news, and said that at that point, he took his dog out for a walk. The dog needed to go out. He wanted to go outside, collect and compose himself because my dude was about to become a millionaire. Well, he got back from his dog, from his walk with his dog, popped open his computer screen, and that $1 million prize was showing up as a prize of $3,078. What happened? Well, late in the fourth quarter, the Bears defense tackled Jared Goff behind the line of scrimmage, and it was initially ruled a sack because Goff had rolled out of the pocket and was credited with taking a sack. Well, the NFL's Office of Statistics went back in just before that game came to its conclusion, and they changed the stat from a sack to a tackle for a loss. Why? Because after Goff faked a handoff to the right side and bootlegged back out to the left, Bears linebacker James Vaughters didn't bite on the fake, teamed with defensive tackle Akeem Hicks to bring Goff down three lines behind the line of scrimmage. However, the Rams wide receivers were blocking down the field, which indicates a designed run. It wasn't. It was a busted play, but because the Rams wide receivers were blocking down the field, it turned into a designed run, and the Bears defense lost the sack and gained a tackle for a loss. A sack in the DraftKings League was worth four, I think four. I don't remember exactly. I want to say it was worth four, maybe six. But either way, it was worth less, or more, excuse me, than a tackle for a loss. It bumped my dude from $1 million down to $3,000. Now, granted, if I won $3,000, I'd be happy as a clam because that's a chunk of cash for a dude like me. But $1 million, slightly more money, slightly more. Diesel, because one wide receiver blew his assignment and blocked instead of running a route, my guy bumped down from $1 million to $3,000, just like that.
So, this is a toughie because DraftKings could do the right thing and throw them some consolation money. You don't have to throw them a cool million, but like throw them something a little more than the $3,000. That could be one. Number two, if it actually made it to the quarterback or wide receiver ears, if it made it to their ears, maybe they could be like, oh, man, like, sorry, dude. we're going to throw you like 10 grand just to make you feel a little bit better. Like, that could happen because these NFL guys are stinking rich. You know, to them, giving away 10 grand is probably, you know, to you and I, it's like giving away $5.
Dude, I'm proud of you for being able to afford to give away $5. Like,
I don't get paid till Friday, bro. I'm just hoping that gaslight don't come on.
Was it you that was telling me the story? Somebody told me the story. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was at the wedding on Saturday. I was talking with a guy who told me that he had taken his father-in-law out to dinner, and they got dinner. And the son-in-law, he's like, yeah, man, I buy my father-in-law dinner. He's a good guy. So we went out to dinner, and he said, I bought him dinner. And he goes, well, let me get the tip. And the son-in-law goes, yeah, man, you can get the tip. So the father-in-law looks down, figures out the ticket, tip is, does the math, and then looks at him and goes, hey, man, can I borrow $20 to leave a tip? Just ouch. All right, quick break. We're back after this. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. 2 hours left. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.